Let us pray. Thus says the Lord through his prophet, as the snow and the rain come down from heaven and return not, but water the earth, making it break forth and sprout, bringing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth through my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that for which I have directed and succeed in my purposes. O Lord, let this so happen today through your servant. Amen. The story of Noah, the ark, and the flood. Ironically, it is the second most depicted story in all of Scripture, second only to the Christmas story. And yet it is one that talks about the complete destroying of the world, rife with death and despair. I mean, what the people of the ark went through. Enduring a storm the likes of which the earth had never seen before or since. Hearing the cries of their doomed friends and neighbors who were probably former taunters building the ark. And then the waiting. Drifting aimlessly over empty seas, just waiting for the waters to subside. The cramped quarters, the trapped, helpless feeling, the stench. And finally they land. And they come out of the ark. I mean, try to imagine what they see. Upended trees, toppled buildings, bloated carcasses, and mud. Mud everywhere. Amidst all this death and destruction surrounding them, 8 people had been spared to remake the world from scratch. As they made their way down the slopes of Mount Ararat, stumbling and slipping, not wanting to think about what they might be stepping in, what must they have been thinking? Everything about the world had changed. Nothing would ever be the same again. As one theologian said, it was as painful and ugly as childbirth, and maybe as hopeful. Noah, his 3 sons, and their wives. What makes them go on, face a future? A rainbow. These are people to whom God promised never again, to whom he pledges his faithfulness. I will remember my covenant with you and everything that lives. Never again will there be a flood that will destroy all life. Now, it's a promise. But it does have a loophole, right? No more floods, but he doesn't say anything about pandemics, asteroids, or global warming. But no. I believe God here is speaking directly to his people's fears and what they just had happen. People emotionally devastated by the horrors they had witnessed. People who might still be traumatized just by seeing a few drops of rain. People whom God loved like no one else on earth. Well, actually, there was no one else on earth. And so, like a parent trying to console his children after they've seen him really, really angry, God seeks to reassure humanity of his steadfast love. So he gives them his promise with a little reminder for them both to see. I have set my bow in the clouds, he says. His own signature in the sky. I remember a long time ago, this little kid was talking about rainbows, and he said to me, he goes, that's God's signature. He uses a real beautiful multicolored pen, and he writes so big, all we can see is the top of the O in God. Love it. So beautiful, not just by the way it looks, but what it promises. Like them, we too are rainbow people. Survivors of a devastation we barely acknowledge. And our rainbow is the cross. It's not as pretty to look at. In fact, considering what it really is, it's horrifying to look at. But it is far more marvelous in its portent, and it does not have a loophole. The cross is a symbol of our deliverance, a symbol of our salvation. But do we see it like a rainbow? In a sense, Noah and his family, they had a bit of an advantage on it. They actually experienced destruction. We don't, more often than not. I mean, we might complain about different things that happen to us, but do we really fear God's wrath? We have a hard time, when you really are honest about it, believing that God actually expects us to be righteous, that the wages of sin is death, that we are just like those in Noah's day. Every inclination and the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. That the cross just wasn't Jesus' thing, but ours. It's like we've been in the gloom so long, our eyes have grown accustomed to the darkness, and we don't see the stark reality of death staring us in the face. Now, if that's you, that's the way you feel, there's not a lot I can ever say to you. There's no point in me telling you how bad off you are, how much you need saving. If you don't already know that, then no words I say are going to convince you otherwise. In fact, doing that tends to bring out the very worst in well-intended Christians. But if your world has been rocked, if death has struck close to home, if you feel that helpless, hopeless crisis of disaster, if your sin seems to be catching up with you, I want to tell you my own take on the flood story. I started off, I was going to write this whole, you know, fictional account, a story within the story about Shem's wife, one of the sons. She didn't want to leave the ark. She was traumatized by PTSD and terrified of the storm, the waves smashing against the hull like giant hammers. She just closed her eyes and hummed tunelessly to herself during the 40 days of rain, cowering in the deepest recesses during all those long days of drifting. When the ark did finally come to rest, she shuddered at the impact and withdrew even deeper into herself. She just sat there and cried over and over about a lot of things. A past that was gone forever. A future she didn't know if she could face. So even when the door was opened and all the animals scurried out and away, despite her husband's gentle pleadings, Shem's wife refused to leave the dark, claustrophobic ark. And so she saw no rainbow in the heavens. She heard no promise. But the Lord God, in His infinite wisdom, brought a rainbow down to her. He sent a pretty little butterfly into the bowels of the ark. A brilliant splash of color flitting here and there in the darkness, looking until it came to rest on her drawn-up knees. Shem's wife blinked, saw this butterfly through her tears, and for the first time in a very long time, she smiled. And when the butterfly fluttered off and away to the other side of the hold, she got up and followed. And when it drifted up the stairs, she climbed after it. And when it went through the open hatch and out into the sunshine, she did too. And there, there she saw an even bigger, bolder splash of color arrayed across the sky. She had become free. She was a child of the rainbow. We too need to escape like that. All the doors and the windows of our prison are wide open. We need only to seize the courage to walk out from darkness into the light. The storm is over and a rainbow rules the calm. And it also beckons us. Because there's a world out there that needs to be repopulated by children of the rainbow, children of the cross, a world rebuilt, a world cleaned up, a world restored. On the cross, Jesus became God's second and even greater rainbow. His promise to love us, to deliver us, to save us, his children. Save us from natural disaster, from sin, death, and the devil. Save us from ourselves. Dear friends, we are children of the rainbow, children of the cross. And God's promise of salvation is renewed after every storm, in every prayer, with every tear. No matter how deep a hole we may have dug for ourselves, no matter how horribly scarred our experiences may have made us, no matter how bleak or threatening the future may seem to be, God's cross, ironically, gives us life. I just have to think of Noah and what it must have taken for him to go on after everything had been wiped out. All he had to do was look up and behold God's rainbow, turning terror into joy, bondage into freedom, death into life. May the cross be that sign of hope for us today, in our heart, written not on the skies, but in our hearts. It's Jesus diving into our world, stretching out his hands, and dying, enfolding us in his arms. This is how much I love you. A rainbow after the storm for all of us children of God to see and marvel, to find hope and comfort when we need it most, and remake our world. Amen. And now may the peace of God